You remember what that word means? It just seems dark. It's when pure light shatters utter darkness. You know, we... that's what I'm looking for. We tend to forget what that's kind of like. But just one little word does that. Until you're in the... Well, I'll tell you what it's like. I don't know about you guys, but my wife's usually the first one up. And we have a bathroom off of our bedroom. There's no door. It's kind of like when she turns the light on. Ah! But the problem is, we're supposed to be the light. And the devil's the one supposed to be going, ah, no, not that. Open your Bibles this morning to James. We're going to go there again. We went there Wednesday night just for a few moments. But you know, while you're turning there, I'll share something with you. As we finally were able to get hooked up with the people to drop off the gift bags for Mount Gilead Clothes Closet. How many of you had fun Wednesday night? Doing things is fun, isn't it? Doing things for God is fun. We're going to do it again this Wednesday. And I know. I want to hear preaching. Listen, I'm not the only preacher. Turn on Kenneth, Gloria, Joyce, Creflo, Jesse. There's all kinds. Get the word in you. Act like you're starved for word. We're not starved for word in this country, folks. And but anyhow, as I took the bags, we finally got connected with the lady, so I took them to where she's employed at, and she was walking out to the parking lot to get the bags and switch them over, and she said, back in October when we started giving out clothes, she said we had kids asking about the gift bags. And, you know, and she chuckled. She said, we had dubs. That's only at Christmas time, sweetie. You know, but the kids remembered that. Now, last year we didn't think far enough, I don't think we did, to put devotionals and things like that in the bags. This year we did. See, next year, if they come back, they're going to have the Word of God as a reminder that, hey, I was given a gift. You know, we can... Yeah, I'm not going to go down that road just yet, but anyhow. Are you in James chapter 1? Now we're going to read verse 26 and 27. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, a couple things here. First off, James. This book is accredited to James, the brother of Jesus, who is also one of the early pastors of the church in Jerusalem. So now let's take a look at that. You know, Keith, you got brothers? Okay. You know your brothers growing up, don't you? You knew their character, what they were like, you know, so you knew if they're telling you a fib, you know it's a fib. Here's James, the brother of Jesus. He knew Jesus. He was with Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. See, a lot of doctrine will try to tell you Mary remained a virgin. Wrong-o. Now, there are some sources that may indicate that Joseph had older children because he was an older man. We don't know whether that's true or not. But what we do know is Jesus had brothers and sisters because the disciples said, Master, your brothers and your mother. And here in this book, here is accredited traditionally to James, the brother of Jesus, somebody who knew Jesus, who watched Jesus, who observed the things he did. Now, normally, James was not He was not a Christian. He was converted later. And so what James saw, he saw the life of Jesus, his brother. He's not preaching out of some doctrine that a theological school taught him. He's teaching and preaching out of what he saw in the life of Jesus. And so and here's the other thing. The word religion, he's not talking about your practice of getting up and reading and coming to church. The word is literally translated to worship God. That's what that means. It doesn't mean how we present ourselves. It's talking about how you worship God. And he goes on to say, though, that pure and undefiled worship to God is simply doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. How many of you want to have unspotted worship before God? I do. I don't want to get up there and God say, I don't know you. How's he going to know us? First off, our works are going to go before us. He will see our hearts. See, out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth speaks what you do. So it all goes back to, that's why God judges the heart. Well, I meant to do good, Lord. Well, okay, yeah, in your heart you meant to do it, but you didn't do it. Which one of the two sons obeyed his father? The one who meant to do it but didn't do it, but the one who said he wouldn't do it and ended up doing it. Obviously, we know the answer to that because Jesus said the one that did it. So, you know, people today are saying, well, I meant to do that. You know, I got an email not too long ago. Don't remember who it was from, but it said the basis was, I forgot to live. I did all this stuff. I acquired all these things, but I forgot to live. And you know, I've come to conclusion, you know, things are just there. How many of you figured out that you can wash your car and wax your car twice a week? It's still going to rust. It's still going to do it. Change your oil religiously. It's still going to get dirty. Your house, you may have just put a new roof on it. That's what keeps Keith in business. They wear out. You may have put siding on it. It wears out, gets holes. Yeah, just ask anybody in a hailstorm. But all that stuff does not matter. But that's what we live our lives for, is to acquire those things, to do those things. When that's not what God even remotely came close to saying was worship. And one of these days I'm going to remember this little poem. God's going to have to quicken it to me because Angela can't even remember, and it was on something she had. It talked about the gifts that we've been given, the talents that I have, and the things that I don't have, but that my true worship, and I'm making ad-libbing this as I go, but that true, that my worship to my God is how I use those gifts and things for his glory. Do I hide them? Well, Pastor, I'm not talented. Hogwash, quit telling yourself that. I mean, people do not realize you do not have to be able to get up and speak in front of 10,000 people. Nowhere did Jesus say that's how you do it. One on one. Can you speak? Is there anybody in here who is dumb? ain't a person. I better put my hand down. Because I mean in reference to speech. Nobody. So we can all say something to somebody, can't we? We can all give somebody an encouraging word. A smile. Especially this time of the year. A smile means the world to people. Especially to the frozen bell ringer for the Salvation Army. Well, Pastor, all I had was 3 pennies. Put them in. Your 3 pennies plus the 97 I put in before make a dollar. See, doing things, doing. I spoke about this the other night. The word says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We've heard the word for years and years and years, and we can't stop hearing the word because our faith has to keep growing, and hearing the word is the only way that our faith continues to grow. But if we never do anything with it, you know, when I was a younger man, and I say in my early 20s primarily, I could eat as much fried chicken as I wanted. The deeper the oil, the better. I could go eat at McDonald's all I wanted. As a matter of fact, for a year and a half, I ate Burger King and McDonald's primarily for most of my meals. And it did not affect me. However, today I cannot do that. Because I know that there are things called cholesterol. There's fat. And it gets inside my blood, and it starts clogging up my arteries. And when it does that, I can't function. I can't do what it is I'm supposed to do. I can no longer abuse my body. Even the Apostle Paul said, when I was a young man, when I was a child, I did childish things. Anybody not do childish things when you were a child? If you've still got children, it should be a good reminder for you too. Remember what it was like when you got your head ripped off. But we're adults now. We put away childish things. Children seek their own. That's why we have to teach them to share. Teach them to give. That does not come natural. You have to instill that in them. So that when you are grown, you can have compassion on people. Compassion is something that is missing in the world today. I'm not going to say just in this country. I'm going to bring the whole world in and accuse them of that. Because if we really had compassion, we would bring justice back. If you enforce the rules that you have, you won't have the rape problem that you have in South Africa and in Darfur, Sudan. You will not have that problem. And the AIDS epidemic. The AIDS epidemic over there is spread because of the rape. But they want us to look at the problem. They want us to look at the effects of the problem and deal with the effects, instead of dealing with the problem. Now, it's kind of off the subject today, but I've been doing some reading. And, you know, so when we look at all the things that are going on in the world, we get inundated. How many of you feel overwhelmed sometimes when you read what's going on and think, it's easy to do that? Now, there are people that I believe God has anointed and He has appointed them for global things. But folks, you do not live in Africa. You don't live in Washington, D.C. You do not live in Columbus. You live in Mount Gilead, Galleon, Johnsville. You live within a 15, 20 mile radius of this place right here. Life's a little different, but guess what? We have some of the same problems going on. We have people that are hungry. We have people that are abused. We have people that are homeless. We have people that are cold. We have all of that right here. Well, Pastor, I can't do it all myself. No, you cannot. And here's the thing. There are already some organizations born. They've already been birthed to deal with this. Well, maybe just one day donating some of your time to help feed those people. You know, if you've never, you know, I remember really the joy that I got taking those meals into the elderly people, that, particularly the shut-ins, those that could not get out. And there were a few of them I really had to pry myself away because I had to get to the next place. I only had so long that those meals were good. And so it really put a damper on too much ministry, but the joy and the light that you would see come into people's lives, into their eyes as you'd walk through. You know, and maybe give them their newspaper. You know, just do little things. You know, maybe you've got a neighbor who's like that. Somebody you can do things for. Pastor, I'm unable to do that. What are you able to do? I'm not asking you to go up and crawl on their roof and fix their hole. We can ask Keith. No, I'm just teasing Keith. There are people for that kind of stuff. Okay? That's what I'm saying. There are people who do that. Maybe you can go down to the nursing home and talk to somebody. Just sit and talk to them. Do you know why people walk around the nursing home talking to themselves? Now, if you've ever worked in a nursing home, how many of you have? I know there's a couple. Okay, we got it. How many of you have heard real kind words out of a lot of those, the orderlies and some of the nurses? Not having been in either one of those fields, but as an outsider, I will tell you that if you ever spoke to my mother, you'd be going to the dentist. The way they speak to them, it's no wonder they sit and they cry. I've known people mess themselves just to get some attention. But you know, people say we don't have time. Well, if we don't have time for each other, who do we have time for? Living, what, so that when we get to the end, we can be putting a hole in the ground or a little vase on the mantle? Personally, I know where I'm going if the Lord should tarry that long. I'm going back to PI. I'm going back to Paris Island. If Angela's and them still around, they're going to take me down here and spread me in one of the pits. It's where I spent most of my time. Just can't tell anybody, though. I'm sure they would have some sort of environmental impact of too many ashes. I got enough DNA into things already, so. So what James is saying, for pure and undefiled worship before God, we're to do this kind of stuff. He didn't say you had to go move in with them. Move them in with you. It's not what he said at all. See, everybody takes, oh, but God, if I start doing something, you're going to ask me to go to China. He's not asking you to go to China. Yeah, they need people there too. You know, the other morning, Friday morning particularly, when I got up and started my van, and it did not want to hardly start, I thought, as I'm sitting there and it finally started, I'm guessing it was probably about 10 degrees. It was cold. Thought came to my mind, how many people slept outside in this last night? And I can tell you, that was one morning I didn't pray for the president. I didn't pray for our congressman or anybody else. I prayed for those people who were left sleeping under a bridge, parking curb, or something else. Now, just so you know, the gentleman that was on the parking curb may have very well just came out of the shelter. I don't know. Because what I do know is Julie, the director there, I heard him telling people that they do not turn anybody away once it goes below 25. He said, we will put people in chairs. We will stand them up in corners if we have to. We will not turn them away. Which means they don't really care what the fire chief says. Which, personally, I have to agree. Like, listen, let the fire chief sleep outside tonight. See if he changes his mind by morning. I bet he changes his mind in 10 minutes. Yeah, exactly. Or how about opening up the firehouse? You keep those trucks nice and warm. They're all diesels. They've got electric heaters in them. Park the truck outside and open up the bays where you're pumping all that heat in for those trucks. But hey, sounds like I might have an axe to grind there. But anyhow, you know, that's what worship is before God. It's doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, Keith, if you were, and I just pick on Keith just because he's here. Yeah, he's fun to pick on. And Phil's not back yet, and he keeps moving further back. But you know, Keith, if you were homeless, wouldn't you like for somebody to open up a place where you could get in out of the cold? You know, I know you working. You were. Okay. Okay, well, right there's somebody's got the experience. But you know, that's not what the church thinks about. And here's the problem, folks. It's not just Christmas time. Oh, everybody will jump in on it at Christmas. Bell ringers, we'll go out there and ring the bells and we'll do this and we'll do that. Do you realize these people are homeless all the time? While you're sitting in your air conditioning and it's 110 degrees outside, no wind blowing, they're trying to find some place to get out of the heat, just like you were. Well, they're alcoholics and drug addicts. Yeah? So what? Can I tell you about the woman that was washing Jesus' feet? Come on, let's not. They aren't going to get help until you meet something. They can't get free of that until they can experience the love of God. Let's go, I believe it's Matthew chapter 25. Yeah. Matthew chapter 25. I have a lengthy part I want to read, so we're going to start in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. That means all the people. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now stop and think about that for just a second. God prepared that reward for those people from the moment He established. Now, I did not bother looking up this word to see if it was the word cosmos, which means the whole space, or just the word that means our social. But from the foundation, I believe He's talking about from the very point of what He created, our solar system. He prepared an inheritance for those people that He separated off as sheep. Now let's keep going. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. How many of you will talk to a stranger? You don't have to raise your hand, because I'm hoping I'm pricking your hearts right now if you don't. I won't talk to anybody I don't know. Well, how are you ever going to meet anybody new? I ain't got no friends. Well, it's time to go meet some. You know, you can say hi to somebody in the line, start talking to them. You know, if you make a comment about something you see on a tabloid headline, I saw one the other day. It's real profound. Oprah dying. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. We're all dying. Right? The last time I checked. You could say something like, yeah, that's real profound. And you could start up a conversation with somebody. Somebody who may be at that particular moment on their way to commit suicide. And you may have just given them enough hope to distract them from their goal. But you see, you want to be in the pulpit. That's not where ministry's done. I'm sorry. I would much rather be out in the field. You can take the pulpit. You want it, you can have it. Actually, it is. You see what I'm saying? The real ministry is out with the people. Jesus didn't spend his time in the synagogues ministering. He got out with the people. He even took time when they were following him. He fed them. Maybe God's got something like that for you. I don't know. If you're wondering what your purpose in life is, I can promise you it's not to just take up space. If you're still living and breathing, there's a reason for it. I don't go until God says, okay, you're done. And I personally believe there's so many things that he's put for me here to do that I'm so far behind, I'll never die. Verse 36, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now let me stop right there real quick. He's separating individual peoples out, okay? And this is the thing I have a problem with, is everybody thinks that the church needs to have the closed ministry. The church needs to have the prison ministry. Do you know what a prison ministry really would consist of? Sitting down and talking to somebody in prison. Anybody been in a prison? A few of us in here have. They're really not fun places to be in, are they? But what you're doing is worth so much more than your discomfort. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. He's not just talking about physical gifts. It's more blessed to give the word than it is to receive it. So, you know, when you get the word and you receive the word, you know, and how the word pumps you up. I'm kind of hoping today that if there's any pricking that needs to happen, that's what's happening. That it'll actually start pumping you up to do something about it. Because this does not just happen in December. But it's only in Thanksgiving to Christmas that we think about other people. It's year round. Kids need clothes year round. People need food year round. We don't stop and truly think about some of these things. I don't know, maybe God's going to birth something in somebody in here. And who knows, maybe it'll be such a ministry that it takes off. And those that are wondering what they're going to do, you can volunteer to work that. Because, you know, as I saw that faith mission down there, and I saw all the people that showed up, there were people from all over the place. Families. There were young people. There were old people. every shape, color, size of it. They were there. They were doing something. But it was, I found it to be fun. I really did. I enjoyed it. I think everybody else enjoyed themselves too. We had a great time. But we weren't there for ourselves. And I'm going to tell you right now, there was three of us. It was Angel, Michelle, and Jason, and me, and Joshua. So we had three guys. We're wrapping women's stuff, guys. Makeup and little purses. And now I feel sorry for those ladies because I am not a professional rapper. And as I looked over at Joshua's, he inherited my rapping skills. We're just like, oh, nuts, ripped it. And just pull that tape and put that clear tape over top of it. It worked. Of course, then as I saw how other people were rapping, I thought, you're one of those that pays for your Christmas gifts to be wrapped, aren't you? Yeah, somebody's got to be gifted at it. I can do a couple, and then I'm done. The anointing has rubbed off after that point. Now, verse 37. Then the righteous. Now, notice he called them the righteous at that point. What is righteousness? Doing God's will, God's way. That's from the dictionary of Art Waddell, but it holds water. Okay, that's the most simplest breakdown I think you can put on it. Doing God's will, God's way. Then to the righteous. He looks at him and says, so he looks at those who did God's will, God's way. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Notice that's what he separated. I don't know if we're going to get all the way over into... Yeah, I guess we will go ahead and read it. Let's keep going, because I want to go there. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand. Notice he didn't call them anything but those on the left hand. Depart from me, you cursed. Oh, I take it back. He did. He called them cursed. Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Got some great company. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and you did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. Can I ask you a question? What separated them? Was it their dress in church? The length of their beard? The shortness of their hair? The aromatic flavor of their cologne? The new silk tie they bought? It was a toothpaste, yeah. No, it wasn't any of that, was it? It was how they treated other people. It was a lifestyle change, folks. I'll tell you that right now. That's what it's supposed to be, is a lifestyle change. Not just once in a blue moon we do it. And we're going to work here to keep that. We got our legs running now. What's that? It's starting to come to me. It's an 80s song. Nothing going to break my stride. I'm running and I won't slow down. you see, it's staying focused. We can sit here and say, we love Jesus, we love Jesus. Come in here and get our bellies full and fat and happy on the Word of God. Go home and do nothing with the Word that we got. Don't look around and say, well, you know, where did so-and-so go? I'll deal with so-and-so. I know where so-and-so went. And you don't want to know sometimes why so-and-so left, because half the time they blame you. You want my job? Because I got to keep from ripping their heads off. See, that Marine in me comes out periodically. But you know what? The people that are doing no accusation will be able to stand against them. Of course, people are going to bring accusations. They've brought them against us. I don't really care. The truth is the only thing that sticks, and your truth is the only thing that matters. Lie? Anybody ever had a lie spread on you? A few of you probably put your hands up. Well, I saw you out with so-and-so. You're running around. It was Isaac. I have to. I mean, since he's not here. He saw me out with my sister one day. Said, who's that blonde that Pastor Art was with? That's his sister. Of course, now you're in trouble. When we went to the family reunion and people asked if I was her husband, she said, no, he's your cousin and my brother. Evidently, it had been a few years, but I think they were wanting to know for other reasons. So what separated the sheep from the goats, because you know, if you to the untrained ear, now I know somebody who is around sheep and goats all the time, they'll be able to tell you the difference by their bleats, by their sounds, and maybe by the smell, or goats are usually stronger. Okay, yeah, goats are usually stronger. But to the normal person, you couldn't tell the difference. Okay, but to the shepherd, he knows the difference between the sheep and the goats. He can tell where the sheep have been. See, the sheep will not chew the grass all the way down to the dirt. The goats, they'll lick the dirt. They will destroy the grass. They will not leave any pasture. Now, the goats have their purpose. We read about it in the Bible, what their purpose is. To get milked. Use them for their money. That's what the Word says, basically. When goats come, you pull up the milking stool and start milking because they're going to leave. Goats are hard-headed. They want their way. Sheep want to follow their master. They want to follow the shepherd. But in the end, I personally don't give a rip about anything else. It's the end that I want to be on the right hand of Jesus. I want him to go, you here. Not, I don't want to see that left hand come up. Okay, the left hand comes up. I messed up somewhere big time. I want to see the right hand come up and him direct me that way. That's what's going to happen. What's going to do it? How many times I preached in a year? How many times I went around the world, laid hands on people? No, that's part of my job. That's part of all of our jobs. Problem is, we said, well, that belongs just to the ministry, the pastor, the fivefold. Every believer in here has the right to lay hands on somebody and pronounce them healed in Jesus' name. Now, I do believe there are people that have worked on their faith and they have a stronger anointing in that. Okay? See, if I can't break something loose with my strength, I'm going to go to somebody that's got a little bit more. Here, Phil, can you break that open? I can't get it. And then maybe he can't get it, but the two of us might be able to get it. So, don't say, well, I don't have enough faith to pray for somebody. Hey, open your mouth. See what comes out of it. I think I was 10 when I started praying for people. And I can't tell you how many people have been healed. The faith of a child, it grew. I know you're adults. It's a little harder for you to believe. I got off the track there. But you see what I'm saying? You all have the same faith, the same obligations, the same rights as Kenneth Copeland, as Benny Hinn. Man, you ain't got to call anybody for a demon. I watched a video last night of this boy. Maybe some of you might have seen of this boy that got his mother canceled his Warcraft account. And his other brother was tickled pink and went and set a video camera up in his bedroom and he got thrown out of the bedroom. And this kid proceeded to throw such a fit. I mean, we're talking about 14, 15 years old. He is shaking. He comes in clothed and somehow inside his blankets, he comes out in his boxers. Goes in his closet. Comes out with a shoe, beating himself in the head. And throws himself all over the bed and just throws this. Now, people can say what they want. If you don't know what Warcraft is, it's witchcraft. It's playing with witchcraft. Okay? It's not Warcraft. Warcraft is you take an M1 Abrams and you blow apart a Russian tank. Witchcraft is a totally different deal. It's real. So is the M1, but we're talking spiritual forces now. And this kid was screaming at his mother, "Is this what you want? Is this what you want?" As he's beating him, it's a boot. Beating him in the side of itself in the side of the head. And I had to think, this kid is demon possessed. A spanking, a beating will not straighten him up. Now his father only knew one thing, obviously. Shut up! Amazing thing was, the kid did. The point being there, the authority. You know how to eliminate it? Don't ever let it start. But now let's get back to what we're talking about here. So for the Christian, let's just put it this way. It says all nations. You have King James, regular King James. Did it not say nations as well? I believe it probably did. It would be up in 31, 25, 31. They're all nations. Yep, it's in 32. All nations. All nations. Does anybody know what all nations excludes? Nobody. That means all the people of the world will be gathered and judged. Now, and he's going to start by separating those who did unto others as they would have done unto them. Not how many demons you cast out. Not how many sick you laid hands on. That's part of that, though. That boy needs delivered. But that's how he's going to start judgment. And can I tell you something, folks? That judgment runs all the time. Here, let's... Genesis 19, don't turn there, is where you'll pick up on the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we look at Sodom and Gomorrah and like, oh, and the first thing, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Homosexuality. I always thought that's why they named two of the diseases syphilis and gonorrhea. S and G. I don't know. Works for me. But, see, homosexuality had been around for a long time. It really had. And traditionally, we've been taught that homosexuality is why God destroyed them. Is there not homosexuals been alive since then? I mean, years ago, San Francisco was known as homosexual capital. Of course, I don't think there is any such thing anymore. So, why hasn't God leveled cities? I don't know, maybe he was trying to back early in the 1900s. I don't know. I ain't gonna say he didn't. Fire's how he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But homosexuality was ultimately not the reason for the judgment. Historically, Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were five other cities around them, were known for corruption, particularly with their judges. They were evil people, particularly if you were a stranger. Now, if you read on in 19 there, you'll see where the two angels had come, and they were sitting in this town square. This was a test for Lot, by the way, folks. Because the tradition was you don't leave anybody out in the square overnight. You take a stranger in. And anyhow, so he went out there and he passed that test. He brought the two angels in. They said, no, we'll sleep out here tonight. I think if he had said, okay, don't think we'd have read anything else about Lot, personally. But he said, no, let's come, you come into my house. And he fed them and he protected them. And when the men of the city came and demanded that they wanted to have their way with them two men, he stepped outside, put himself between them and said, no, they are under my protection. Now, I do not agree with his next step. You can have my virgin daughters. What are you, stupid? But here's how depraved they really were. They didn't want them. I cannot fathom that. Choosing a guy over a girl. Nah. May have my own shakedown here. But these men pressed against Lot so hard. Lot was pinned against his door, and they were pushing against him. That's a hard place to be when you may have a couple hundred men pushing against you, and they're about to break the door. And again, their doors were not these little flimsy doors that we have today. And they're pretty strong, actually. They used great big, thick, 4-inch doors, probably oak. And they were about to break the door when the angels opened the door, grabbed Lot, pulled him out, and blinded every man that they couldn't find the door. You were just pushing on it. Wow. Now, they finally persuaded Lot to leave. Had to persuade him. I think after that little display, my bags would have been packed and we'd have been running for the hills. Let's turn to Ezekiel. I want to show you something. You may have seen it, maybe you haven't. Because God does not judge right off the bat, because he judges because of how we're treating each other. That's why Jesus said, this is the do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. This is the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I think it's called the golden rule because really you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul until you love each other. Verse 49. Look. This was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. By the way, he's talking to Jerusalem. Oh, I'm sorry, 16. Chapter 16. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. He has called Jerusalem's sister Sodom. That would be like calling my brother Osama. You understand the slam here.
She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them as I saw fit. The real sin was not the abomination. The real sin was they didn't feed the poor. They didn't help those who needed a hand. And because of all this idleness, because of the abundance of food, the abundance of time that they now had, well, they didn't have nothing to do. Hey, Phil. I mean, come on, how bored do you have to get? You see what I'm saying? They got bored with prosperity and turned themselves over to a reprobate mind. When guys start thinking guys look good, yeah, you got a problem. That is how God's going to judge. Now, can I tell you a little something? You got to go back into Genesis. Here's the reason why countries and cities have not been wiped off the face of the map, to never be seen again. A man named Abram started striking a deal with God. Lord, for the sake of 50, would you not destroy him? God says no. Just another question, Lord. How about for 40? No. Don't mean to make you mad, but how about 30? No. I know this might be pushing it, but for the sake of 20? No. Okay, I really don't mean to push the issue, but how about 10? God says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy them. For 10 righteous people. He barely found one. I would say, given a little bit more time, and Lot may have been corrupted. You want to know why the countries have not been obliterated? Now, they bring judgment on themselves in other areas. But do you know why God has not? For the sake of 10. I think we got more than 10. I know there was more than 10 there yesterday. For the sake of righteous people. Righteous meaning we get out and we do God's will. We don't just talk about it. We don't just sit there and say, oh, well, we'll let somebody else do it. Listen, we can give all the money we want. There comes a time when we need to roll up our sleeves too. It doesn't hurt anybody to help. You know, like I said, maybe God is putting something else on to help somebody in an area. Maybe they don't need clothes. Maybe they don't need this, but maybe they need that, and you can do it. So go do it. Do it. You don't have to wait on an invitation. If you're waiting on an invitation, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because it's been my experience, nowhere have I ever seen God give an invitation. He just says, do it. Right? Did he invite Moses or did he just tell Moses? He told him, do it. You do this. Because you see, folks, when we start doing that, I'm telling you, you've got to understand, you've got to get this understood. We have got to get this understood, that when we're doing His will, He gets involved in our lives. See, in the military, there's this department called MWR. It stands for Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. And what it's there to do is to relieve pressure on the troops that are doing their job, what they're supposed to be doing. They provide services. If you've got a pay complaint, you can take it to MWR. Sometimes they outrank a general because they got more clout. But what happens is God takes care. He steps in and says, all right, Keith, you're doing what I told you to do. Now, I'm going to take care of you. You've been having a problem with this. You know, for all I know, Keith may be having his little twinge in his back. He can't figure out why it's there, but he starts doing what God has spoken to him and told him to do. 2 weeks later, Keith's like, I ain't had that twinge in my back for 2 weeks. I just now noticed it, not being there. But prior to that, it probably had him bent over and, oh, I can't move. That's usually the way I was after doing roofing. It's like, oh, man, I can't stand up. But I've noticed that when you do the will of God, you step out and you do what God's telling you to do. Man, what He does. Talk about hallelujah. He steps into a situation and what you thought was hopeless, you now see, oh wow, right there's the road. It's as wide as can be. Thanks to God turning on the light. If we're going to have pure, unadulterated, spotless religion, this is the only time I like using the word religion. Because it doesn't mean the dead, dry, dusty, doctrinal, theologically unsound teachings of man. It means the worship of God. It's amazing how fast you can dry out. You know, over the years, I've had many people, you know, and I'm talking from 30 years, we'll say. I've seen people in every aspect of life, people that operate in every sphere of ministry that you can think of. And they say, but this is all I'm called to do. Wrong. Preachers are called to do. Now there does come a point, such as today being one of them, that it is more advantageous, just as Peter said, for me to preach the word than it is for me to wait the tables. However, what people forgot to notice is Peter actually did, because he took the authority that he operated in and appointed 7 men to go take care of those widows. By the way, I'm not saying that I'm not going to do anything. I'm not saying that at all. I enjoy doing it. But what I'm saying is, I don't care if you're a prophet. Oh, but I bring forth the word of the Lord. What do you think I'm doing? Talking gibberish? Keith, if you tell me God loves me, you just brought me the word of God. Keith's a prophet. Oh, but I sing, I lead the praise, I lead the people before God. Big whoop. No matter what area God has called you to do in the church, to serve, this is a mandate. It's a mandate for judgment, so that we can be found righteous. And again, it's not just a Christmas thing. You know, I had to think, I heard somebody talking about it, and I've heard people, you know, here lately, oh, but this is just the time of the year that I just get so excited, and that, boy, religious nuts come out of the woodwork this time of the year. I'm not kidding. Man, people that you know darn well don't go to church, they send you religious Christmas cards. And they send you some doozies, too. Come worship our Savior. Our Savior. Well, He is your Savior if you'll accept Him. But is He your Messiah? Come experience Jesus. Whatever. I mean, you'll get them. Christmas cards ain't done yet. They'll send them. Oh, but I just love Christmas time. And can you tell me why you love Christmas time? Without saying, I love decorating the tree, I love singing, I love eating, I love caroling, I love giving the gifts, I love the lights. Why do you love Christmas? It's the birth of my Savior. He was actually born probably in September. Why do you love Christmas? You love a thought. But for Christians, Christmas is supposed to be year round. Right? Not just once a year. We're supposed to be excited about Jesus every day. But the church comes fully alive at Christmas time. It should be every day. Every time we get together in here, it should be like an Easter celebration. A resurrection celebration. He rose. Hey, tomorrow, let's get together. Let's celebrate Jesus rose. Because by the way, Jesus Himself pointed out, don't celebrate your birthdays. No, I'm not. You deal with that whatever you want. I celebrate my birthday. But here's the reason why I think He said. Because people get bent out of shape. I'm turning 40. Hallelujah, I'm turning 40. People don't think I'm 18 anymore. They gave that up a few years back. I think there was a crow's feet that started doing it, or maybe it was the accelerated forehead. But you see, Christmas is supposed to be year-round. You want to know really who's to blame for the commercialism of church, of, I just gave it away, of Christmas? The church. We made it about gifts. In reality, we celebrate several different Jewish holidays in one. Where do you think the lights come from? Hanukkah. Yom Kippur, the gifts. We did it. As a matter of fact, I read, and I don't totally agree with the Puritans, but they banned Christmas. You weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas. No joyful wassailing or anything. I'm like, okay, now I understand your life. You're the Amish are your descendants. You don't want to have any fun in life. I totally disagree with you here. How about doing this year-round? I'm not wearing black and white clothes with a big buckle. I have a redneck stereotype coming at me anyhow without wearing a big old brass square buckle. But see, people turned to the wrong things and started focusing on the wrong things. Because those are some of the same people that'll say, you know what, get up and work, you lazy bum. Can you show me where Jesus said that? I've heard people say that, and I wanted to rip their lips off so bad. You don't know why they're there. You have no clue why they're there. Who are you to judge them? And if those people do not change, they are still alive today and they have the opportunity to change. But if they do not change and understand what true religion, what true worship to God is about, they will be seeing the left hand of fellowship. I personally like the right. If we'll celebrate Christmas year-round, not just December 25th, not stress ourselves out. Oh, Christmas is coming. Oh, big whoop. It's coming. It's going to come every year. And it's going to go every year. And then afterwards, you're going to be like, I did all that for this? I ain't ever doing that again. And you do it again. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, well, we're going to go to a homeless shelter and we're going to help wrap gifts for the homeless. The person on the other phone sounded shocked that a Christian was going to go do something for somebody else at Christmas. This isn't about us. That's what we turned around and made it about. We made it about us. It is not your holiday. Your name is not attached to it. You want to really celebrate Christmas? Give it up. Go give it to somebody else. We'll see how much Christmas really means to you then. Because if it does, that's what you'll do. If God tells you to do it, do it. The blessing you'll receive on the other side of that is so much greater than the little trinket you got today. That's it. I'm done. Let's stand. As I said, we're not going to just stop. I'm going to drag you into it kicking and screaming. You don't want to come, then I'm sorry, but you'll have to leave. Because this church is going to keep going. We're going to run. We're going to run smack dab into the separation of sheep and goats. It's my job to direct you there. We're going to help people. Well, do you know who you helped? I don't care who I helped. I don't care who shows up and who doesn't show up anymore. I'm getting to that point. You know what? I just don't care. Because if you don't love God enough to come and strengthen His people, then that's less that I have to try to drag. Because if you've ever tried to drag somebody that didn't want to go someplace, it can be an issue. I remember a guy they were trying to drag back to bed in the Marine Corps one time, dragging him by his ankles up the steps. He was holding on to every step. He ripped the treads off. He didn't want to go to bed. He was on his way to level 3 alcohol training the next morning. His last chance in the Marine Corps. But we're just going to keep going. We're not stopping here. You notice the little red bucket outside. It's a Salvation Army bucket. You got some change, put it in there. It's going to go there. Well, I don't know if they think they've gotten away from their initial call. The whole church has. Let's get real about it. Quit pointing fingers at them. They're still helping people with drug and alcohol addiction. What are you doing? I mean, heck, I do some of my finest shopping there sometimes. I know there's a bunch of you do. Hey, I'm going to help them out. I don't have to go pay $20 or $50 for a pair of jeans with holes in them. I won't pay that for him either. But we're just going to keep going. We're going to reach out to the world when people look at you and they're going to say, hey, didn't you do this? Didn't I see you here handing these out? Didn't I see you handing out blankets? By the way, we took hats and gloves down with us yesterday too. So, you know what we'll do next year? I'll have everybody bring a pair of hats and gloves. They're not that expensive. Good Lord, what, $4 for a set? And they're not expensive. And they are just as warm as the expensive things. But these guys are winos. Yeah, so was I at one time. I didn't drink wine, I just drank whiskey. What separated them from me? Not a dang thing. Not one little thing. Jesus died for them just as much as he died for me. So we're going to continue this on. I did speak with Life Outreach the other day. They had called us and they wanted to thank us for the offering we had sent them. And we had asked about if there was a possibility of knowing any individual well. If you do not understand how ministry finances work, the money doesn't go strictly to one well. We probably helped drill 5 different wells. But he's going to be sending us pictures of one that they drilled just as we had sent the offering in. It's in Cambodia, just a few miles away from Vietnam. And they had 300 professions for Christ. The gospel had never been to this village. But because they came and drilled a well, 300 people now profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a communist country. And you had something to do with it. Like I said, we're going to be trying to get some more pictures in. He sent us a picture. He sent one picture, and what did he say? It was 5 megs or something. It was huge. You got to scroll halfway across just to get to the other half of the picture. So he's going to try to send more pictures so that we can see them as they, and there's, you know, pictures of the kids standing around this pump, you know, with all smiles on their faces. And, you know, and the thought that came to my mind was, you know, these particular Cambodian children, but 40 years ago, they were potential enemy combatants. And today, yeah, I know we got 3 Vietnam vets in here. You guys helped save their lives. Isn't it funny how life turns, isn't it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray none of us remains unchanged. Lord, help us to self-examine ourselves and to face the reality of what we discover. Lord, help us to help you. Father, we want to be your hands and your feet. We want to give. Father, show us people, even our neighbors and people right around us, that we can help now. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for their obedience, their love for you. And Lord, now I pray that you bless them. Father, you've moved mightily on their behalfs this year. Because of you and because of them, Father, we gave more this year than any other year. Father, we've helped people in countries that needed water. We've helped the orphans. Father, we're not stopping. Nothing's going to break our stride. Father, that's why I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person associated with this ministry today. Father, that you stand guard on their behalf, over their families, their belongings, their jobs, Father. The enemy, their finances, the enemy cannot come near them in Jesus' name. Amen.